So I was here, I don't know, 6 weeks or so ago, and told you a little bit about my new project. Some of you may remember, but my little soft hearts, I brought a bunch so you could see. There's also a flyer that was with the programs out front. Yes, that's the one. So when Mary asked me to talk about how I was inspired to start this project, I knew that it wouldn't take very long. Because the simple answer is, I asked for it. I was looking for a way to find a use for the vintage linens that I had been collecting for 50 years. And after an evening of trying to decide with my brain what to do, I just let it go. And in the night, the inspiration for the project just sort of downloaded automatically. The hardest part for me was trying to get it all written down before it disappeared. And then to follow it. Because I don't know about you, but I've had a few of those downloads from the universe that I went, oh no, not going there. I just wasn't ready for that one, and so I let it go. But this one I knew I was ready for. And the reason that I knew that I was ready for it is because of the fellowship and all the work that they've allowed me to do over the years. Because the inspiration for this project could never have come through me until I could be the person that the idea could flow through. And I think that's true for most of us. One of the ideas that I learned in fellowship, it's hard for me to spit this out, so bear with me. It wasn't in my talk, but it came to me as you were talking, actually. And that's the idea that the stories we have running in our minds are heavy. They weigh us down. The stories that are in our minds are all about our defenses. No matter what happened to us in childhood or at work, as we grew, we learned how to defend ourselves from things that we didn't like or things that we thought were harmful. And those defenses became our story about what the world is. And the one thing that I learned through a lot of my classes at Fellowship was that when you can let one of those go, you feel lighter. Because it takes a lot of work to hold all of those defenses in place, and they start to weigh you down. So each time you can let one of them go, you feel a little more buoyant. So even though it's hard work to let those defenses go, when we've come to a point where we can do without them, we feel lighter, we have more energy because we're not using that energy to hold all those defenses in place. So my talk tonight is a little bit about my own personal journey of letting go of my defenses. And the first one that I had to deal with was the story about how money works. And believe me, I was not an expert at this. I started 3 different businesses. Some of them lasted for a little while. Some of them lasted for longer. But none of them ultimately lasted because I had ideas about money that weren't helping me. And it was only after all of those businesses were closed and I came to fellowship that I learned a little bit about what that was all about. See, I'd always believed that when you have a product that people want, people will pay you money for it. And that's what business was all about. You have this, I have that, we're going to trade it. You know, the old saying is, you don't get something for nothing. And I just didn't ever even question it. And with this consumer society that we live in, I know that it's not just me. I think everyone at some level lives from that idea that you don't get something for nothing, that in order to get something, you have to have the equivalent to give back. So before I could do my passion project, my Seva project, I needed to set aside that idea. So the quote that came to me that helped me change is the quote, "Life is not a zero-sum game." And I can't tell you where it came from, because that's not in my consciousness. But life is not a zero-sum game. So what does that mean? It means that if you have X dollars and someone has a product that you want, the only way you can get it... Now, let's go back here. It's basically... there's only so much in the world. And if I want it, someone else has to lose it. It's like victory. You know, if someone wins, the other person has to lose. But when it comes to consumerism, it's there's only so much in the world, and I have to get mine first before someone else gets it. And if someone else gets it before I do, I'm out of luck. And that just leads to the world the way we have it right now, unfortunately. But life is not a zero-sum game. If you believe in the law of attraction, you understand that our source... is our source. The field of manifestation is our source, and it's limitless. If I need more of something, someone might start a business that makes more. I don't have to worry about what's already there. The universe somehow will use someone to provide what I need, and I don't need to worry about it. If there's something that I absolutely need and I sit with it, the universe can provide it. I don't need to worry about that. I don't need to worry about someone else getting it before I do. I can let that go. So the field of manifestation is limitless, and it's our belief that activates the field. And with that belief, the process of manifestation begins. And the universe conspires to give us whatever we truly believe we can have. Yeah. And going along with that was my fear of not having enough. I don't know where this came from. I grew up in a household that was relatively middle class. There was always a roof over my head. I was an only child and pretty well spoiled. Got just about everything I ever wanted. But I don't know, somewhere in my early years as a struggling young wife, I guess, you know, when there was never quite enough money to pay all the bills, you know, you get that feeling that there's just never enough. There's just never enough. So there's a class at School of Ministry on abundance. What do you title it these days?
Abundance Consciousness.
I fought that like crazy. I did. I hate to admit it, but I fought it like crazy. I just didn't believe it was true. But somewhere along the line in that term of enforced tithing, which is what we did in that class, it's like if you take the class, you have to tithe 10% every week when you walk in the door. You have to put that envelope in the center with everybody else's. And what I realized as I went through that process, fighting it like crazy to begin with, struggling to understand the teachings, at somewhere along the line, I realized that it wasn't about the money. It was about me coming to the absolute, undeniable truth that I have enough to share and to spare. When you go every Tuesday night and put your 10% envelope in the basket, and you go home and there's still enough money to pay all your bills, and you go in the next week and you put your 10% in, and I went out to dinner and I still had enough money to pay all my bills. The next week, I put in my 10%. I'll be darned, I still had enough money. And at some point, I went, oh, I get it. It's like you're demonstrating to the universe that I have enough. And the universe says, yeah, you do. And you walk away going, I get it. And that was a huge step for me in lightening my load that I was carrying around with me. So the third thing that I had to learn, and there were many more, but these are the only three going in my talk. Like, believe me, there were many more. But the third one was I had to learn to ask for it in a way that the universe could answer. That meant I had to believe that it was possible. I had to believe that I deserved it. And I had to let go of how it was going to happen. As a business owner, it's like you don't leave anything to chance. You have to know how everything's going to work. That doesn't work with the universe. The universe doesn't want you meddling in how it's going to happen. It wants you to get out of the way and just tell it what you need. So what I had to do was focus on how it would feel when it happened. These are teachings mostly from Abraham. But for me, a big part of it was through my mastermind group. I have to give huge thanks to them because for 7 years, they have been teaching me how to believe it was possible, how to believe that I deserved it, how to let go of how it was going to happen and focus on how what it was going to feel like when it did. The other thing that I think my mastermind group taught me is you don't start your request with, I want to stop doing this. I want to stop feeling that. Doesn't care about what you want to stop doing. The universe wants to know what you want to do. So you can't focus on the negative that you're already stuck with. You have to be looking at the other. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do because we don't know what that is. But You can always say, help me to see another way. Help me to see this another way. Help me to find a more positive way to look at this. And even if you can't find the positive words yourself, you can ask for them to be presented to you. And sure enough, then you can go, I want to find my passion. I want to find something that thrills me, that I want to get up and do every single day, instead of saying, I want to stop feeling so useless. You know, whatever it is that's in your life, you find the positive way to say that. Because then you're looking forward and not at what you're stuck in. So as I said, what I had asked for was something that I could be passionate about. And this service project just, I mean, I literally saw the website completely done, all ready to go. It just presented itself. So now it's up to me to follow through with it. So again, my three lessons. How the material world really works. The material world is limitless. It's not a zero-sum game. I learned to trust my own abundance, and I learned how to ask for what I wanted. So when I did that, then I could revisit this collection that I had of vintage linens that I'd been hoarding so carefully for my daughter, who absolutely has no interest in getting them. And I realized that it just wasn't necessary to hold on to them anymore. And the other part of that was, I always thought they're going to be worth money someday. Do you know how much people want to spend for an old doily these days? About 10 cents. I have no interest. I mean, I look at all the beautiful handwork and it just makes my heart sing, and people go, no, they don't want them. But I did learn through this vision of mine that I can refashion them into something that people want, and I could exchange them in a way that I could help others. So that is my soft heart project. But what it really gave me has to do with my retirement. Growing old is not for the faint of heart. It's hard work. You know, it really brings a lot of challenges. It's like our identity that was all bound up in our career is no longer there. Our identity as a parent, I mean, we still have children, but, you know, they don't need us anymore. So it's like that identity has fallen away. Our physical capabilities are diminishing, shall I say, despite our best intentions sometimes. It just really makes us reevaluate who and what we are. And without all those other aspects of ourselves, I think the number one need for a lot of people at my age is a way to still feel relevant, a way to still feel useful. As I said, something to be passionate about, something that you're really excited to get up in the morning and do. And I don't think it's just me. I think everyone can have that. I ask you to look at some of the visions that you saw during the meditation. And maybe you already know what your passion is. I look at you, Leroy, if you know what your passion is. Okay. Everyone has something that they're passionate about, that all we need to do is sit and think about it, and we can find a way to make it valuable, to a way to make it helpful, useful to others. Maybe you're a runner. Well, you can run in charity events. You can organize charity runs. You can teach running to young people. You know, whatever your passion is, there's a way that you can find to give back somehow. And I think it's really important as we get older. And it doesn't have to be a grand world-changing plan. It can be something small. I look at Elise and her peace grains. You know, you could tell that she just got a huge amount of joy out of sitting with those little squares of colored paper and making cranes. And they sent joy all around the world. And I bet there's not one of us in this room that will ever look at a crane again without thinking of Elise and what they meant to her and to us. So I don't know where my grand passion project is going to take me, and it really doesn't matter. It will take on a life of its own. I just know that the joy that I get sitting at the sewing machine or at my work table with all my beads and buttons and lace and my needle and thread, it gives me joy. And they're a reminder of the soft heart that I've tried to nurture within myself and that hopefully I can give to others. So, I have a challenge for you. Whether you're retired or still working, do what brings you joy. Do what brings you maximum soul-filling joy. And ask Source to help you bring it into being and for the perfect way to give it to others.